All right, we're holding the last line of Chafdalad on the days, the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Maisa Shabo Shnaim, it happened once that two Edim came, but Omru, and they said, Re'inu Shachris B'Mizrach V'Aris B'Mayrav. We saw the old moon in the morning, and the same evening we saw the new moon in the evening. Now, that ought not to be possible. First of all, we learned in the previous Perek that it takes 24 hours from when the moon disappears at the end of the month until it reappears at the beginning of the new month. It's a minimum of 24 hours, and according to some Mefarshim, even more. So it shouldn't be possible. It shouldn't have been possible for them to see the moon, the old moon, and the new moon all on the same day. That's Rashi's first explanation from his Rebbeim. The second explanation is that they're both talking about the new moon. They saw it in the morning in the east and in the evening in the west. And the question is, how could it move? And the problem is, how could it move that fast? So let's learn what happened, and then we'll see what other possibilities there are. Anyway, Amar Rav Yechon ben Nuri, Eidish Shekehem. Rav Yechon ben Nuri said they have to be false Eidim. There's no way that it would have been possible to see what they're saying, what they're saying that they saw. However, Shabola Yavne, Kiblon Ram Gamliel, but when they came to Yavne, Ram Gamliel accepted their Eidos. Now, why did he do that? So Rashi's first explanation that it has to do with how long the moon is invisible for. So in the Gemara, we're going to learn that Rav Gamliel says to the Chachamim, sometimes the moon moves faster than others. But Rashi says, how does that fit with this? The whole point is, within 24 hours, it's too small to be seen. It's not a matter of how fast or how slow it goes. So then Rashi's second explanation is it has to do with how fast it moved from the east to the west. And therefore, said Ramiel, we'll answer in the Gemara that sometimes it moves faster than others. Tosfos didn't really like that explanation either, because what's the problem? Why can't it go from the east to the west in 12 hours? Everything in the sky goes in 12 hours from east to west. So Tosfos sticks with the first answer, that what it means is that we're saying that there's a certain amount of time after the molad, before and after the molad, where it's invisible. But when we're saying Tosfos says, there can be a difference. When we said before that the moon is invisible for 24 hours, there could be a difference. We may be talking about shoyes manius. So therefore, it depends on the length of it. Depends on the actual length of the hours. There are times during the year when the shoyes manius are shorter, and therefore you can have less time between being able to see one and the other. The Baal HaMor explains, and the Rambam explains similarly, that never mind all of that. All it is Rav Gamliel figured, you know what, they're saying they saw the moon in the morning? Big deal. We don't care about that. The fact is, we're not here to interrogate them about what they saw in the morning about the old moon. We're here to interrogate them about the new moon that they saw in the evening. So they're saying they saw it in the morning? Big deal. It means they saw a piece of cloud or something that looked like the moon. We don't have to worry about that. As long as Rav Gamliel's calculations showed that it was possible for the moon to appear in the evening. That evening, then Rav Gamliel's not concerned about what they said they saw in the morning and so forth. So according to that explanation, the Baal HaMor says, when Rav Gamliel is going to say in the Gemara, sometimes it goes faster, sometimes slower, that's an independent statement. It's not meant to explain why he accepted the Edom in our Mishnah, because for that you don't need. He's mentioning to them, by the way, you should know that the moon's path is not always uniform. Sometimes it's faster, sometimes it's slower. Okay, continues the Mishnah. V'oid bo shnayim, then another time two Edim came, v'omru, they said, Re'inuhu bizmanai, we saw the moon in its proper time on the night after the 29th, which would mean, of course, if true, then Beis Din would declare the 30th Rosh Chodesh. This was actually not just any Rosh Chodesh, this was Rosh Hashanah. But then, uvaleil iburoi lanira, then on the night after the 30th, when everybody is waiting to see, if the moon was visible already the 29th, then it should sure be visible the 30th. But it wasn't visible. And yet the Kibla, so on the face of it, that means that the Molad had not happened yet. So how could they have seen it the night after the 29th? Yet the Kibla and Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel accepted their Eidos. Either because Rav Gamliel's calculations showed that it could have been visible the night after the 29th, the fact that it's not visible the 30th, okay, there was a cloud, let's say, there may be a clear day, but still there might be one particular cloud there covering it, or there might be some other reason. But again, the Rambam puts it that the Rambam Gamliel took the view, it doesn't matter. Once we have valid edus that checks with the calculation that says that it could have been visible the night after the 29th, we don't care what happens any other night. On the other hand, Amar Rav Dosa ben Hokinas Eda Shekehen. Rav Dosa ben Hokinas says they have to be false witnesses. Heyach Me'idim Al Isha Shiyolda. After all, it would be, how could it be like you give Edus about a woman that she gave birth, or the Mach of Kresa ben Shineha, and the next day she's pregnant again? Is a Kresa ben Shineha, literally means her stomach is between her teeth. It's a figure of speech for a woman who's pregnant. In other words, it's impossible. So necessarily, it has to be that the Edim are Edus Sheker, and last night, in fact, the moon was not yet visible, or what they saw was the old moon or something. So Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Dosim and Hokinas, you know, I see what you're saying. I think you have a valid point. We have to make it a 30-day month. So now you have a machloikus between Rabbi Gamliel, who is the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, and Rabbi Yeshua, who is the Avdestin, and Rabbi Dosim and Hokinas, who is neither, but he's one of the very old distinguished Chacham of that time. That could create a problem. Shalach lo Rabbi Gamliel, so Rabbi Gamliel sent a message to Rabbi Yeshua. Gezrani alecha, I am making a gzera on you. Now remember, again, this was at the end of Elul, so the Rosh Chodesh, that's under question over here, what day it's going to be, is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, is Rosh Hashanah, which means it's going to affect the dates of all the Yom Tovim throughout that month. So Sholach Lo Ram Gamliel, Ram Gamliel sent a message to Rabbi Yeshua, Gezrani alecha, I am making a gzera on you, Shatovei Etzli, that you should come to me in Yavne, the Makelcho of Moisecha, together with your walking stick and together with your money, which after all you're not allowed to carry on Yom Kippur, the Yom Kippurim Shechalias B'Cheshboincha, on the day which your calculation would make Yom Kippur. In other words, let's consider, Rav Gamliel is saying it's a 29-day month. Therefore, according to him, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah is the 30th day counting from Elul, and only the one day, and Yom Kippur is 9 days later, so it's the 39th day since the beginning of Elul. Whereas according to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Dosa ben Hokinas, Elul that year should be 30 days, because they're saying that these were 8 days Sheker. Therefore Yom Kippur would come out on the 40th day. So Rav Gamliel is telling him, listen, on the day that you think is Yom Kippur, which as far as I'm concerned, and as far as how I've been the Kaddish the Chodesh, is actually the day after Yom Kippur, Yud Aleph, you're thinking it's Yom Kippur, I want you to make a public demonstration that it's not Yom Kippur by coming to me with your walking stick and your money, to demonstrate that you don't actually believe that that day is Yom Kippur, that you accept that the day that I said Yom Kippur, that is Yom Kippur, the 39th of Elul, is in fact the day. And the reason is, of course, why Rav Gamliel did that, well, we're going to see in the Gemara anyway, that Dastin has complete rights over the calendar, but the point is also, of course, Rav Gamliel needs to prevent a machloikas over here. If you're going to have Rav Gamliel on one side and Rav Yeshua on the other side, the whole Jewish people are going to end up getting split. Now, the question is why he didn't ask Rav Dosa ben Hokinas. So one point is, because Rav Yeshua is the Av Beis Din, more people are going to pay attention to what he's saying. So therefore, Rav Gamliel needs Rav Yeshua particularly to make this public demonstration. The other consideration is also, Rav Dosa ben Hokinas at the time was very old. You have a story in the Gemara in Yevamos where he was very old and couldn't come to the Beis Medrash anymore, and a number of the Chachamim, including Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua, went to visit him. So he was too old for Rav Gamliel to tell to do such a thing, whereas Rav Yeshua was younger. Well, continues the Mishnah with the story. Holach u'matzei Rav Akiva meitzar. Rav Akiva went and found him troubled. Now, the Gemara is going to ask which one was troubled, and it's going to answer that Rav Yeshua was the one. He was feeling bad that, after all, I consider that this day is Yom Kippur. Fine, I mean, I can also, Rabbi Yeshua is thinking to himself, he could always fast 2 days, like we learned in the previous Perek that once in a while it happened, the Chachamim had to do. So fine, he could fast on the day that Rabbi Gamliel considers Yom Kippur, as well as on the day he considers Yom Kippur. But now Rabbi Gamliel is telling him to actually be mechalal what he considers to be Yom Kippur, the 40th of Elul, and he felt that he was feeling very bad about that. Amaloi, so Rabbi Akiva told him, "Yesh li lumud shekol masha osu Rav Gamliel osu. I have a way of learning. I have a way of demonstrating that whatever Rav Gamliel did is valid. Don't worry about it. In other words, you're not going to be mechalal Yom Kippur. The fact is, Yom Kippur is the day that Rav Gamliel established it. Namely, Shenema, the pasuk says, 'Eila moyad Hashem mikrei kodesh.' These are the appointed times of Hashem, the holy gatherings. Asher tikru oisam, which you should call them." So it depends on based in gat. It depends on based in calling them. In other words, so bein bismanon, bein shalev bismanon, whether it's in the proper time or not. Eli moyades ela elu. These are the only yomim tovim we have. And in fact, even the based in shamayla follows that. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is telling them, Rabbi Yeshua, even if you think that Rabbi Gamliel made a mistake and he accepted false edim, doesn't matter. What he decided is what goes. So don't you worry that you're going to be Machal Yom Kippur. You're not, because the Eibishter has given Beis Din, which is headed by Rabbi Gamliel, the power to do this. Okay. Then the Gemara continues, Bolei Eto Rabbi Yosef ben Hokinas. So Rabbi Yeshua went to Rabbi Yosef ben Hokinas to consult with him. After all, Rabbi Yosef was the first one who said that these are Eidei Sheker. So what is he going to say about this that Rabbi Gamliel is telling him to do? Omaloi. So Rabbi Yosef says, fine, it may be true that I disagree with what Rabbi Gamliel did. Nevertheless, though, you still have to listen to him for a different reason than Rabbi Akiva said. Not just something that has to do with the calendar, but more generally. He says, im boin onu lodun acha beis din shel Rabbi Gamliel. If we're going to go and second guess Rabbi Gamliel's beis din and say maybe they don't know what they're talking about, then by the same token, we would have to second guess and we would have to revisit the decisions of every Beis Din from Moshe Rabbeinu's times until now. What do I mean by that, says Rabbi Yosef? Shenema, you have the Pasuk says, by Matan Torah, by Yal Moshe Aaron and Nodav Aviv Rishivim Mizikni Yisrael, that they all went up, Moshe all the way to the top of the mountain, and Aaron further down, and Nodav and Aviv further down, but whatever. The point is that we have the 70s Kanim over there. Now, Rabbi Yosef says, V'lomel and Isparishu Shmosh Santos Skanim. Now, why aren't the names of all these Skanim mentioned? If they're distinguished enough to be going up to Har Sinai and be there for, and then be on some part of it, for some part of Matan Torah, don't they deserve to have their names recorded? The reason is like this, in a future generation, if you're going to say the Beis Din of now, are they of the caliber of the people of the Beis Din of Moshe's times? We're going to tell them, okay, they may not be of the caliber of Moshe and Aaron or Nadav and Aviv, but they're of the caliber of, they may well be of the caliber of some of those other 70s Kanim who aren't mentioned. It doesn't say their names. You don't know who they were. You don't know what level they were on. So at least you could say that the people of the Beis Din of your time at least are on the level of those Shivim Skanim. And the point is, we're not going to second guess those Shivim Skanim and second guess Moshe and Aaron's decisions, and Moshe and Aaron's Beis Din decisions. By the same way, says Rabbi Yosef, you can't be second guessing Rabbi Gamliel's Beis Din decisions. Fine, before he made the decision, obviously we have the right to argue against it, which is what Rabbi Yosef did in the first place by saying Eidei Shekerim. But he's telling Rabbi Yeshua, now that it's a done deal and they established that Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is on such and such a day, then you have to follow it. So that's the thing. So he continues. Erol Olam, that it comes to teach you, Shekol Shloisha Shloisha Sha'omru Beis Din Al Yisrael, that any group of three Dayanim that are set up as a Beis Din over the Jewish people, Harayoka Beis Din Ishal Moshe, they have to be respected and they have to be listened to just as much as the Beis Din of Moshe. So therefore, in short, Rabbi Yosef is telling Rabbi Yeshua that you have to listen to what Rabbi Gamliel says. Okay, well now Rabbi Yeshua had two good reasons. One, Rabbi Akiva's reason that especially when it comes to the calendar, that Beis Din has absolute rights. And the other one, Rabbi Yosef and Hokinas's point that you don't know how today's Beis Din compares in caliber to the previous one. Okay, so Navi, when he went with Bittul, Noto Makloi Ma'osa B'yodeh, he took a stick and his money in his hand, V'holach L'Yavne Eitzer Rav Gamliel, he went to Yavne to meet Rav Gamliel, V'yom Shechal Yom Kippur M'yos V'chashbonai, on the day which he, Rabbi Yeshua, would consider was Yom Kippur. So again, we're talking about the day that according to Rav Gamliel would be the 11th of Tishrei, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, who thought that they were false Edim, would say that it was the 10th of Tishrei. But nevertheless, he still showed Bittul. And he came to Rav Gamliel, and he came to Rav Gamliel on that day.
So because he saw it come up. And
so all because the moon was invisible the night after it should have been right. So it was visible the night, the Avim said it was visible the night of the 29th. Then nobody saw it the night after the 30th. So they were all giving its false Avim because how did it disappear if it was visible last night? Right. When Rav Yeshua came, Rav Gamliel stood up and kissed him on his head. Amalai, he said to him, Boi b'sholem, Rebbe v'talmidi. Come in peace, my Rebbe and my Talmud. Rebbe b'chokhma, why am I calling you my Rebbe and my Talmud? You're my Rebbe in chokhma, because you taka no more Torah than me. Rabbi Yeshua, it seems, was also older than Rabbi Gamliel. the Talmidi, Shekibaltes Dvarai, but you also deserve to be called my Talmud because you listened and you accepted what I said, even though you disagreed with the underlying premise of it. It's interesting, by the way, that Rabbi Gamliel uses the expression "boy bishalim." The Gemara tells us at the end of brachas, you're supposed to tell to a living person, you say "leich lishalim." But maybe the difference is when you're saying "leich," when you're saying "go," then to a living person you have to say "lishalim," and to a person who's passed away you say "bishalim." When you're saying "boy, come," then maybe it doesn't really make a difference. Come to think of it, fine. So the Gemara said, "Tanya, we learn in a brisa." The first part of the Mishnah, where we have the case where the Edom claimed that they saw the moon in the morning in the east and in the evening in the west, and Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri argued that they have to be false Edom because the moon couldn't have moved that fast, as we discussed in the Mishnah. So Tanya, Amar lahem Rabbi Gamliel l'chachamim. So we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Gamliel said to the chachamim, that's not a problem. Kach mekublani beis avi'aba. This is what I have the Kabbalah from my ancestors, the previous Nesiim. Pa'amim shababaruch or pa'amim shababaktzara. Sometimes the moon moves on a faster path, sometimes on a shorter path. So therefore, yes, so...
Winter and summer,
or... So it's not necessarily winter and summer. So that's the thing. According to Rashi's first explanation, he says, I don't understand what this has to do with. Either way, the moon is invisible for 24 hours. 24 hours is 24 hours. According to Rashi's second explanation, the point is that Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri is arguing it can't move from the east to the west that fast. And Rabbi Gamliel says sometimes it can. And according to Tosfos' explanation, Rabbi Gamliel is saying that sometimes the 24 hours are shorter than others, because it depends on Shoyes Zmanias. And then according to the Baal HaMor and the Rambam, it's an independent statement, nothing to do with the fact that he's telling them the fact that they claim they saw the moon in the morning, never mind that. We don't care what they saw in the morning or didn't see in the morning. You should know that my calculations show that it could have been visible that evening, and you should know that b'chlal, the moon's path is not uniform. Sometimes it moves faster, and sometimes it moves slower. So Amar Rav Yechon, in my time at the Beir Gezi, where does Rebbe's household, meaning the family of the Nesiim, where do they get that from? Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, Osa Yereach L'mayadim, Hashem made the moon to tell us the time, to tell us when the various Yom Tovim are. Shemesh Yodam Avoyoy, the sun knows it's going down. So the fact that it's phrased that way implies Shemesh of the Yadam Avoyah. The sun knows when it's going down because it has a very uniform motion. Almost every day, it's pretty much the same thing as the day before. It's slightly faster and slower, but it's mostly the same. It's very predictable. Yareach lo Yadam Avoyah, where the moon, so to speak, does not know when it's going down because it's so variable. So we say this is Pesach and Bochen Afshi. So the Rambam, in fact, the Rambam mentions this in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. He spends two chapters explaining how the sun moves, and it's fairly straightforward. And most of a good part of it is just explaining how to do the math anyway. And then when he comes to the moon, he takes four or five chapters explaining the details of how we know when the moon is visible. And sometimes you have a longer keshes ariya, which is the arc between the sun and the moon, and sometimes a shorter one, and sometimes the moon is larger and sometimes smaller, and so on and so forth. And he mentions this pasuk that you see, this is what Chazal mean. The moon's motion is so variable, you have so many correction factors you have to apply. Once you know, he describes over there, once you know the position of the moon, then you have to apply this correction factor because of parallax, and that connection factor because you have to consider where it is relative to the sun and relative to the equator, and this other correction factor for some other purpose, and so on and so forth, and it gets very complicated. The point is, in other words, it is possible, obviously, to calculate when the moon is visible. The Rambam gives us the calculation, but it's much more complicated than for the sun. That's what the Gemara means over here, speaking of like the moon, so to speak, doesn't know when it's going to set. So Shemesh would be Yadam Avoya, Yereach lo Yadam Avoya. The sun knows when it's coming down, the moon does not. Okay, so the Gemara mentions in this connection another story. Rav Chiya Chazia L'Sihara. Rav Chiya one time saw the moon to have a koi b'tzafra de esri matisha. It was in the sky on the morning of the 29th. Now, like you just said, you saw the moon now walking over here because late in the month, throughout the month, the moon rises at different times relative to the sun. At the beginning of the month, right at the time of the Molad and shortly after it, the moon is rising about the same time as the sun and sets about the same time as the sun. The next day it rises about 50 minutes later and sets about 50 minutes later. The day after that, another 50 minutes and so forth. 5-0. 50 minutes of that. So if let's say, for example, Shkia this week, for example, is around 5:30, give or take. When it comes to Moilad at the end of this week is Rosh Chodesh. So the moon is going to be rising around 5:30 in the morning and setting around 5:30 in the evening. The next day, it's going to be rising about 6:20 and setting about 6:20, give or take, and every day a little later. You get to the middle of the month eventually, and it's rising when the sun sets and sets when the sun is rising, which is why you see it in the sky all night. Later on in the month, it's rising later and later in the night. Eventually, you get to now is today, a couple of, a day or two before the Moilad, and the moon is rising now an hour or two before Netz. So that's how it is at the end of the month. The moon is visible in the morning, and then at the beginning of the month, after the Moilad, the new moon is visible in the evening in the west. Okay. So the Gemara says, Reb Chiya chazi l'siara davakoi b'tzafra de'esrim v'tisha. Reb Chiya one time saw the moon was there in the sky on the morning of the 29th. Shoko kola, Reb Chiya took a clod of dirt, Posach Bay, and threw it at the moon, like to tell it off. Omar, he says, La'uta be'in l'kadushi bach. This evening, we need to be Makadashi, because this was also the end of Elul. We need to make Elul 29 days this year, in order for the reason, like we talked about in the previous paragraph, to make Yom Kippur and the other Yom Tovim fall out on the right days of the month. We need to be Ma'ayim on the Edim to tell them, we need to pressure the Edim into saying they saw it in the proper time. The Af Kaimas Hocha, you're standing over here, and if you're here in the morning, we're not going to be able to see it, where there's no way it's going to be visible tonight, and there's no basis for being Ma'ayim on the Eidim. So we said before, Tzorech Sheyehe Laila V'Yom Min HaChodesh, according to Rashi's explanation over there of that, it meant that if we still see the old moon on the night after the 29th, and we cannot be Makadosh that of the 29-day Chodesh, because there's no way the moon is going to be visible before the night of the 30th. So you're standing over here, you're messing up our plans. Zil Ikasi. So he tells the moon, go cover yourself. And in fact, there's a Girsa for Alpha the Ikasi, and in fact it went and covered itself and disappeared. Because the Eibishter runs things, and then in heaven, the way that based in here says on earth. Okay. Yeah. We're not talking about Rav Chiya, he's not a private person, he's doing it as a representative of Rebbe. Okay, Tosfos discusses it a little bit, that maybe in theory it would have been possible to see it still later that evening, but it would be highly unlikely, and therefore Rav Chiya wants the moon to disappear, and sure enough it did. So then the Gemara continues, Amale Rebbe lit Rav Chiya. So Rebbe says to Rav Chiya, Zil Ein Tav B'kad Shel Yarcha, go to Ein Tav, and be Makadish the Chodesh. Ushlach li Simona, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim, and send me as a password that you were Makadish it, this phrase, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim. So what's going on over here? Rashi says two possibilities. One is that it's a continuation of the previous story. The fact that before Rav Chiya yelled at the moon, it was visible over there, that's going to cause people to be Meranin. Now, when Rebbe is Mekadosh the Chodesh, that the next day, based on that he's telling the Edom just that they saw the moon that night, then the people are going to say, what are you talking about? We ourselves saw the moon in the morning. So therefore, Rebbe tells Rav Chiya, instead go to Ein Tav, which is a little of a distance from here, that way people won't have noticed it over there, and that way it won't look that strange when you do it. You'll find witnesses over there. Yeah. The other possibility, Rashi said, he brings from his Rebbe, is that there was a gzera in Rebbe's location over there, that the Romans were preventing them from being Mekadosh L'Chodesh. Therefore, he's telling Rav Chiya, go to Ein Tav, where the Romans won't bother you. It's a smaller town. Tosfos says a third possibility, neither of the above, it's just that was the regular place where they did Kiddush HaChodesh. And in fact, we find in various other places in Shas where that's how it was. They used to, their regular place, even though so they had, the Sanhedrin itself might be located someplace else. For example, in Rebbe's time, the Sanhedrin was already located in various places in the Galil, in Beis Sha'arim and Sipori. But nevertheless, there's a concept that Kiddush HaChodesh has to be done, if at all possible, in Eretz Yehuda, the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, they had this place called Ein Tav that was reserved for that. So they had a based in Kavua over there, and that was the regular place to be Mekadosh the Chodesh. The Yerushalmi, in fact, tells a story that one time many, many Chachamim gathered over there for that purpose, to be Mekadosh HaChodesh, to be Mekadosh HaChodesh in Ein Tav, and then unfortunately something happened and many of them were killed. It doesn't say it doesn't say exactly what it was. It could have been a Xerus from the Romans, it could have been an epidemic, it doesn't make it clear exactly what it was. But in any case, so from then on, they had to stop doing it in Ein Tav and move that to the Galil. And the only thing they left in Ein Tav after that was Ibur Hashana. When they're going to make an Ibur Yer, that they would still do over there. But they would still declare it from there. But yeah. So, the idea is, for example, the Romans got wind of what they were doing over there and harassed them and attacked them. And therefore they had no choice. So now we can't do on a monthly basis that everybody's going to be gathering there. So therefore they had to move that. In any case. So according to those last two explanations, that Revi is telling Rav Chiya go to Ein Tav has nothing to do with the fact that they saw the moon in the morning. It's just a separate thing that Revi told Rav Chiya. Now, what's the Inyan? So first of all, it's brought in various Sfarim that the words David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim is the same gematria as the words Rosh Chodesh. So there's an actual connection between them. But the deeper idea behind it, so you have, there's a well-known medrash that says that the Malchus based David is like the moon. You have, there were 15 generations from Avram Avinu until Shlomo HaMelech, where then Shlomo is like when the Jewish people are at their peak, like Kayim Asir of Ashlomo, so when the moon is full on the 15th. Then it started going gradually downward until you reach 15 generations after Shlomo, when the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, which is, and Malchus based David stopped, which is like the moon disappearing at the end of the month. But we know, like we say in Kiddush Levana, Shehein Asid in the Schadish Kamosa, the Jewish people will be renewed just like the moon is renewed every month. So therefore, so there is this connection between the disappearance and the reappearance of the moon and David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. So in particular, Marashar explains that, now the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that before Mashiach comes, the family of Nasi and the family of the Reish Galusa are going to have to disappear, which is long overdue then, because we haven't had Nasiim and we haven't had Reish Galusa in well over 1,000 years. So Mashiach is way overdue. But anyway, the point is, therefore, Marashar explains, Rebbe himself then did not want to tell the moon to disappear, and he didn't want to go and be Mekadosh the Chodesh, because that, after all, does represent that the family of the Nasiim is going to have to disappear as a prerequisite for Mashiach coming. But he sent Reb Chiya to do it instead. And he's telling him, send me the password, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, because that represents the idea. Don't think the moon has disappeared and that's it, it's gone. We know it's coming back. And the same way, even if I'm sad over the fact that the family of the Nasiim is going to have to disappear, nevertheless, I know that it's a prerequisite for Mashiach to be able to come. So not Rosh Hashanah, but the words David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim is the gematria of the words Rosh Chodesh. Continues the Gemara. Turn it up on him. So this is, by the way, why, of course, we say this phrase at Kiddush Levana is to represent this idea. Turn it up on him. Pam achas niskashu shamayim ba'avim. One time that was cloudy. V'niras dmus levana be'esrim v'tisha l'chodesh. They saw what looked like the moon on the 29th of the month. The pashtus, it means on the night going into the 29th. They saw what looked like a new moon. They thought that it's Rosh Chodesh, which was based in Mekadosh. Based in was going to be Mekadosh. But Ram Gamliel said to them, no, that's not the moon. Kach mekublani mi beis avi abba. I have the Kabbalah from my ancestors. Ein chidusha shal levana pchusim esrim v'tisha yoyim u'mechta. The renewal of the moon is not less than 29 days and a half a day, 12 hours, or shnei shlishei shah, 2/3 of an hour, which is 40 minutes, v'ayin gimel chalakim, and another 73 chalakim, which is another 4 minutes plus one chalak. Now, he doesn't actually mean that it's never less than that. What he means is that's the average length. That is the length that we use nowadays when we calculate our Luach HaKavua. We use that average figure is the amount from one molar to the next. Rabbi Gamliel himself said before, "Parmim shabab arucha, parmim shabab ksara." It can be a few hours either side of that. But the point is, in other words, he's telling them the average is 29 and a half, etc. So now you're claiming that you saw the moon on the night following the 28th, or there's even a gear set, it was the 27th of the month, so even earlier. So he's telling them you're making a mistake. The moon cycle is not the moon cycle is not that fast. Yes, parmim shabab arucha, parmim shabab ksara, but not that ksara. So you're making a mistake. What you saw was you saw a patch of cloud that looked like the moon.
So there's a little clock, so you can't even tell it was cloudy.
Well, you could tell it's cloudy without a clock, but you could tell, yeah, I mean, it was the sun had set, and they saw something that looked like the moon, yeah.
It's a
That's right. But Oisayeh Mesa Imesha Ben Zoza, on that day Ben Zoza's mother passed away, the Spider Ram Gamliel Hested Godo. Ram Gamliel made a huge Hested for her. Roy Mipnesha Uyavakach, not because she was particularly Roy for such a big Hested, Ella so that everybody should know that basting was not Makadosh L'Chodesh. Because you don't make Hespedim on Rosh Chodesh. So by making a big public Hesped, Rav Gamliel was making it very clear, today is not Rosh Chodesh. You may have seen something that you think is the moon, but it's not the moon, and it's not actually Rosh Chodesh. We said in the Mishnah, going back to, we had the story where Rav Gamliel tells Rav Yeshua, you have to come and be mechalal what you think is Yom Kippur and come to me with your walking stick and your money. So we said in the Mishnah, Holach Rav Akiva Umotze Meitzel Fuller. Rav Akiva went and found him feeling bad. So Ibarilahu, so what does the Mishnah mean? Me Meitzel. Rav Akiva Meitzel or Rav Yeshua Meitzel? Is it Rav Akiva is feeling bad that he has to give such an order to Rav Yeshua? Or is Rav Yeshua feeling bad that he's being told to be Mechala what he considers to be Yom Kippur? So Toshma, the Tanya, Holach Rav Akiva Umotze Rav Yeshua Kru Meitzer. The first possibility, or the second possibility rather, Rav Akiva went and found Rav Yeshua very troubled that he's going to have to be Mechala Yom Kippur. Omaloi, so Rav Akiva asked him, Rebbe Mipnei Mata Meitzer, why are you so troubled? Omaloi, Rebbe Akiva. So he said, well, Rebbe is in parenthesis because Rebbe Akiva is Rebbe Yeshua's Talmud. He doesn't have to call him Rebbe Akiva. He could just call him Akiva. So anyway, so Omaloi, Akiva, Roiloi Sheyipa Lemita Yudbeis Chodesh. I would rather, when he's speaking about himself in third person, like a person also often does when he's talking about something negative, but he's saying he would rather, but he means I would rather, have to be sick in bed for 12 months, Val Yigzer, all of Zeta Zu, rather than having such a Zeta made on him. In other words, if I was sick in bed for 12 months, Rebbe Gamliel wouldn't be able to force me to be Mechalal Yom Kippur. I wish I was in that position rather than what I am now. So I feel bad about it. Omaloi. So in the Mishnah we had briefly what Rebbe Akiva told him. In the Braise it tells it with more detail. Omaloi said Rebbe Akiva tells him, Rebbe, Tarsheni Lefanach, Loimaloi Lefanach, Adabach, Shimatani, please give me permission to tell you over one thing that you previously taught me. Omaloi Emer, so Rebbe Yeshua tells him, go ahead. Omaloi says, Harehu Omer, Oysam, 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 Gimel Pamin. Three times in the Pesukim, when it talks about Moyade Hashem, it uses the word Oysam. Moyade Hashem, Ashetikru Oysam, the Kroy Kodesh, Ashetikru Oysam, the Kroy Kodesh later on. So three times in the Pesukim, it says Oysam. So since each time the word Oysam is written without a vav, we can darshan it as if it was written Atem, which means you. So therefore it means Atem, 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 Gimel Pamim, you, it repeats three times, meaning Atem Afilu Shogeg, means Hashem is leaving it up to you, the Beis Din, even if they're Beshogeg, they make a mistake in their calculations and they think the moon is visible when it wasn't, and they accept Adim without realizing. Atem Afilu Mezidin, and even if you're doing it on purpose. Atem Afilu Mutin, and even if you were misled by false Adim or whatever. So nevertheless, the Torah is telling us three times, Oysam or Atem, meaning we have to listen to what they're saying. Now what does it mean, Mizidin, by the way, you know, based in Rishoyim, that they're going to deliberately falsify things. So it includes things like we were talking about before with the Ma'aymin ala Adim, where we pressure the Adim into saying something that we know that might not be completely accurate. It can include, different things like that. We don't mean mizidim as in they're deliberately violating what the Torah says, but they're deliberately manipulating things in order to make the calendar work. So Rabbi Akiva is telling Rabbi Yeshua then that the Torah is implying that you have to listen no matter what. There's a sicha where the Rebbe once commented on it, the attack of why should it be so? Why does Hashem give such rishus? So first of all, I mean, Uri or Sfarim talk about it, and it's a practical thing. Look, you know, you have to have one calendar for the whole Jewish people. You can't have that every community is going to have their own days of celebrating Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov, and the whole Jewish people will split apart. So therefore, the Eibishter gives the right to the Chachamim, and if it turns out that one month they made a mistake, big deal, it's for the greater good. The Rebbe talks about an idea that Milamilo, you have, you know, there's a physical sun and moon that we see, and then there's a spiritual sun and moon. Usually they match up, not always. So when based in, is Mekadosh the Chodesh at a time when they shouldn't have mathematically. So what it means is Milamilo, that is the day that's supposed to be Rosh Chodesh. Okay, for whatever reason, right now the physical sun and moon don't match up with that. But nevertheless, their calculation is still valid, the Pnimius. So Beloshin Azer Omalai Akiva Nicham Toni Nicham Toni. So Rabbi Yeshua answered with this exact language. He said, Akiva, you comforted me, you comforted me. So in other words, I accept what you're saying. You're right. I'm not going to be Mechal. I don't have to worry about it. I'm going to be Mechal. You're different. Next, the Mishnah continues. Balei Etzer Rav Dosa ben Hokinas. Rabbi Yeshua went to Rav Dosa ben Hokinas to consult with him. And Rav Dosa told him, you have to listen because every Beis Din is like the Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braise some more detail about what it says in the Mishnah. Lomolai Mispaushu Shmosim Shal Skenim Alalu. As we said in the Mishnah, it mentions 70 Skenim of Moshe's time, but it doesn't say their names. Why not? Shaloyema Adam, so a person shouldn't say in future generations, Ploini Kim Moshe Ba'aron. What is Ploini, the Dayan of my times? Is he of the caliber of Moshe Ba'aron? Ploini Kim Nodav Aviyu, Ploini Kim Elder of Medad. So we tell him, okay, he may not be like Moshe and Aaron, he may not be like Nodav and Aviyu, he may not be like Elder of Medad, but he could be like one of the other 70 Skenim. Look, you don't know who they were, so they could have been. Your Dayan of your times could be of their caliber.
Could be a Gilgal, yeah.
But Omer, and we have another pasuk that shows the same point. In Shmuel's speech to the Jewish people after Shaul was crowned king, it's in our Torah of Parshas Korach, by Yom Shmuel Alam, Hashem Asher Oseh Moshe Ves Aaron, he tells them Hashem made Moshe and Aaron and sent them to take you out of Mitzrayim. But Omer, then he goes through, he's listing in brief all of the nisim that Hashem did, all the times when Hashem saved the Jewish people, without a king, by the way. So he's telling them, why do you need a king? You think Hashem can't save you without a king every other time Hashem did. And he says, Vayishlach Hashem es Yerubal, ves Bedon, ves Yiftach, ves Shmuel. Hashem sent in various generations these four people to save you. So who are they? Let's define them. Yerubal is a Gidon. Yerubal is another name for Gidon. He's called that because he fought against Baal. One of the first things after a Malach came and told him that he's the next shofet, one of the first things he was told to do is to destroy a mizbeach of Baal that his father had and take an ox that had been fattened up for years to bring as a korban to Baal and bring it as a korban to Hashem instead. So he fought against Baal and he fought against Baal and won. So therefore. Usually there's a problem with using an animal that was reserved for a korban and using it for avodah zarah and using it. Yeah, the Gemara mentions that there were eight halachas that were overridden as a hayroah shah at that point. You can't really do it at night and he did it at night, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, all kinds of things. Anyway, so the people called him Yerubal out of anger. Like Baal should fight against him because he destroyed his mizbeach. But eventually it became a complimentary title. He fought against Baal and won. So that's Yerubal. Bedon Zashimshin. Next, when Shmuel mentions Bedon, refers to Shimshin. V'lominik Hashem Bedon, the Osim Bedon. He's called Bedon because he came from Shevet Don. Yiftach Kamashmo. Yiftach is the Shofet Yiftach. That was his name. So now we have, so Shmuel has mentioned six leaders of the Jewish people. Moshe, Aaron, Yerubal, which is Gidon, Bedon, which is Shimshon, Yiftach, and himself, Shmuel. So he's listed six leaders. Now, who is Shmuel? We have to realize what level Shmuel was on. But Omer Moshe v'Aaron v'Choyah Nevo Shmuel v'Kodesh Mo. We say in Tillim, Moshe and Aaron are among Hashem's Koyanim, the great ones who serve Hashem, and Shmuel is among those who call on Hashem, and Hashem listens to him. So we see, in other words, that Shmuel is on a level equal to Moshe and Aaron, in a certain sense. When we talk about Moshe and Aaron, we can talk about Shmuel in the same breath. And so therefore, so we have Shachar HaKotzev, Shloisha Kalei Olam, Kishloisha Chamurei Olam. So now it comes out then, the Torah is listing three Kalei Olam, three relatively lightweight leaders, Yiftach, Gidon, Yiftach, and Shimshon, connected Shloisha Chamurei Olam, on an equal level with the three great leaders, Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel. Loimalach, so this teaches you. Yerubal Bedorei Kemoshe Bedorei. Yerubal Gidon in his time, even though he wasn't particularly great. And in fact, you have in the Pesukim over there, which describes that later on he made an ephod, and unfortunately the people started worshiping it as an avodah zarah. An ephod, like the ephod of the Kohen Gadol. But he made one out of the spoils that captured from Midian. He meant it as a mark of that everybody should always remember the nest. But people eventually started worshiping it as an avodah zarah. So even though, so nevertheless, Yerubal Bedorei Kemoshe Bedorei, he's still of the caliber of Moshe in his time. You still have to listen to what he passed him. Bedon Bedorei, Shimshon in his times, Ka'aron Bedorei, is as great as Aaron in his time. Yiftach Bedorei, Kishmuel Bedorei. So each one of them, Lelamdechos, so this teaches you, Shafkidu Kal Shabakalid, even if you have the most lightweight of lightweight, Benismana Parnas Alatsibur, and he was appointed as a leader over the community, Hareo Ka'abur Shababin. He has to be listened to just as much as the mightiest of the mighty. So now, of course, you know, before such a person is appointed, you should make sure maybe that he shouldn't be appointed to a position that he's not qualified for. The Gemara talks about that elsewhere. But once he's appointed, then you have to listen to him. But Omer, and you also have a pasuk that expresses this idea, Uvasa al-Kohenim Halavim. The pasuk says, if you have a question in Halacha that you don't know the answer, you should come to the Kohenim Halavim, Ve'al Ashofet Ashayiyah Bayamim Ahim, and to the judge that is in that time, meaning you come to the Sanhedrin Gdola, and you ask them. So, what do you mean, Ashayiyah Bayamim Ahim? L'chitala al-Daitcha sha'odim ho'lachet so'adayin sh'lehoibi. What do you think? A person would be able to go to a dayin who's not living in his time? Why does the Torah have to mention that point? So the implication of the pasuk is, don't start looking for other shofetim. You have the shofet that's in your time. That's the one that's the one for you. That's the one that you should ask, and that's the one you should listen to. But Omer, and you have yet another pasuk that expresses this point. Al Tomer Mehoya, don't say what it was in the olden times, that the olden times were better than these, because Rashi brings the rest of the pasuk, what you're asking is not a wise question. You should realize the reason is the earlier generations were tzaddikim, and therefore the Eibishter gave them better calibers of leaders. If you have not such great leaders in your time, you should realize that it's because you're not on the level, you yourself are not on the level of those earlier generations. And therefore, Hashem can't give you great leaders in such a when you're lower down like that. So again, so the bottom line is, in other words, Rabbi Yosef is telling Rabbi Yeshua, based on all of this, you have to listen to Rabbi Gamliel. You may think you know more Torah than him, and maybe Taka you do, as Rabbi Gamliel himself says. Nevertheless, though, he's the Dayan of your time, and you have to listen to him. Okay. So. The story continues, not on Machlo Ma'osa Biyadai. So sure enough, Rabbi Yeshua took his stick and his money in his hand, and he went to Rabbi Gamliel, and he said Rabbi Gamliel kissed him on his head and complimented him. So Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braise some more detail about what happened. Kivin Shirah Osa, as soon as Rabbi Gamliel saw Rabbi Yeshua coming, Oman Mikisa, he stood up from his chair, Unashaka Yaroshe, and kissed him on his head. Omalai, he said to him, Shalom Alecha Rabbi Vitamidi. Rabbi, I'm calling you Rabbi Shimantani Torah Barabin. You taught me Torah in public. Because there were previous times when they were in the base in Shtivel or in the yeshiva or whatever, and Rabbi Yeshua had said things. Again, Rabbi Yeshua was older than Rabbi Gamliel. He had learned by Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. So there have to have been things that Rabbi Yeshua said that Rabbi Gamliel learned from. The Talmidi, and I'm calling you my Talmid, Chani Gozu Allah Hagzeira Vatmakaima, because I gave you an order and you kept it. Ketalmid, like a Talmid would you. So he continued, Ashrei Hadorsha Gerlim Mishmoyim Lakanim. Happy is the generation where the greater ones listen to the lesser ones. Because Kavachoymer, Ktanim Legovim. Because then a Kavachoymer, that the lesser ones are going to listen to the greater ones. Because the lesser ones have to listen to the greater ones. They don't need a Kavachoymer for that. Ella, no, what Rav Gamliel means. When you have the greater ones, like you, Rav Yeshua, listen to the lesser ones, me, in the future, the lesser people will learn from that of Kavachomer, how much more so that we have to listen to the people who are greater than us. So that's, you accomplished that, Rabbi Yeshua, by having this bittul and coming to me, that you now made it that more people are going to listen to the Beis Din in the future.
He's
being Mevatel himself, yeah. In fact, by the way, now the Gemara tells us in Brachas, you have the famous story where they were involved in Tfilas Avos Rishus. When there was another time in Bechoris, and then there was a time in Brachos over there where Rabbi Gamliel seemingly treated Rabbi Yeshua very disrespectfully. The other two times involving the Bechor and involving Tfilas Avos Rishus, he made him stand up rather than he had gotten up to say something, and then Rabbi Gamliel didn't give him permission to sit down. So at that point, finally, the Chachamim decided enough of it already. I mean, they could understand. Rabbi Gamliel was doing this in order to uphold the honor of the Nasius and the honor of the Sanhedrin. But nevertheless, they felt that he's going a little too far. That was when they got to the story of that they deposed Rabbi Gamliel and appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the whole story that developed from there. But, so they mentioned there in that story involving Tfilas Avos Rishus, they said this is already the third time that Rabbi Gamliel has shown himself very overbearing to Rabbi Yeshua. The first one was this time, the second time was a story involving a Bechor, and the third one was that one with the question of Tfilas Avos Rishus. So eventually they reappointed Rabbi Gamliel, eventually Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua reconciled. And Rabbi Yeshua himself went to them to urge them to reappoint Rabbi Gamliel as Nasi, and then they had from then on Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah kind of shared the Nasius between them. Hadron Alachim Ein Makirin. Continuing on the topic of Kiddush HaChodesh, and it's a little bit odd that we have only the first Mishnah over here is going to be on the topic of Kiddush HaChodesh. After that, we're going to the Dinim of Shofar for Rosh Hashanah. So it's a little odd why Rebbe divided up the Perukim that way instead of putting this Mishnah at the end of the previous Perek, but okay, sometimes it happens that way. Anyway, the Mishnah says, Re'u Beistin B'chol Yisrael, suppose that the Beistin and the entire Jewish people saw the moon, or suppose that Nechkeru Edim, suppose that the Edim have already been cross-examined. So either way, in other words, the point is that we know for sure the moon was visible the night after the 29th, but they didn't have a chance to say Mekudesh ad shechashecha until it got dark on the night after the 30th. Harezim ha'uber, then it becomes a 30-day month. Everybody saw the moon. We interrogated the Edim. Doesn't matter. They have to be able to say Mekudesh by day for reasons that we're going to talk about in the Gemara. Another case, Ra'u based in Bilvad. What happens if based in themselves are the only ones who saw the new moon? No problem. Yamdur Shnayim, two of the members of the basin should get up. The Yehidu B'fnehem, they will say Eidus in front of all the other ones. But yeah, Mekudesh, Mekudesh, and then they can say Mekudesh, Mekudesh. Now, why do they need to give Eidus? Why don't we just say they themselves saw it? We're going to talk about that in the Gemara. Next, Re'uhu Shloisha Behen Basin. What if three people together, what if only three members of the basin saw it? So now you don't have enough for Edim and Dayanim, because the Gemara is going to tell us you need at least three Dayanim to be Mekadosh L'Chodesh, and you also have, they can't be Edim as well as Dayanim themselves. So therefore, so Yamdu Ashnayim, two of the members should get up to serve as Edim, the Yeshivu Mechavereim Eitzal Yochid, they should take two other members of the Beis Din and have them sit with the one. So you have, let's say in other words, so you have Reuben, Shimon, and Levi on the Beis Din, they all saw the moon, so fine, we'll take Reuben and Shimon will be the Edim. We'll get, Levi will remain sitting over there. We'll bring together with him Yehuda and Yisachar. They will constitute the Beis Din. And Reuben and Shimon will give Eidos in front of them. The Yehuda with Nahum and Reuben and Shimon, the first two members, will give Eidos in front of them. The Yomu Mekodesh Mekodesh, and then they can say Mekodesh Mekodesh. The reason why we need that, She'ena Yochid Ne'eman Ayidatma, because we can't, a Yochid is not trustworthy to be able to say Mekodesh, not really trustworthy, but he can't say Mekodesh by himself. You need a Beis Din of three, as we're going to learn in the Gemara why. Well, in general, you're saying you can't have two. In general, you have a concept in halacha called ein beis din shochel. You never have a beis din with an even number of people because then they could end up deadlocking. So you always need to have an odd number. Yeah. So the Gemara says, "Lomali v'misni ru'ur beis din v'chol Yisrael." Why does the Mishnah have to mention that first part when it says that all the Jewish people saw the moon? Why isn't it enough to say that just the beis din saw it? The reason is, if we need that part, you would have thought, since Beis Din and all the Jewish people saw the moon, you would think, so now it became very well known that the moon was visible after the 29th, so how can we make it an Ibra month and everybody's going to be all confused? Therefore, the Mishnah is telling us, doesn't matter. They couldn't send the Kodesh by day on the 30th, therefore it becomes a Kodesh Mo'ober. So then, the Kiva de Tonale Ra'ul based in Mechoy Yisrael, so if it says that based in and the whole Jewish people saw it, Nechkru Edim Lamali, then why does it need to mention that the Edim were interrogated? Why do we need to interrogate Edim? Everybody saw it. The answer is Hachikama. The Mishnah means that's a separate thing. E Nami Nechkru Edim. Or a different case. Not everybody saw it, but Edim came and they interrogated them in the usual way. But either way, the point is, whether it's that everybody saw it, or whether it's that Edim saw it and were investigated, either way, the point is they didn't have a chance to say Mekodesh by nightfall. So either way, the point is, Harezim older. Then it's still a 30-day month. Okay. So the question is, the Kivin to Tona Ad Shechoshecha. So if it says that, if it's saying that they couldn't say Mekodesh before it got dark, Harezim Ober, and we're saying that's a 30-day month, Lomali Lemisni, Chakira Se'edim Kral. Why bother mentioning that they interrogated the Edim? The point, once we have the first case in the Mishnah, Re'ur based in V'chol Yisrael, and we still say that even though everybody saw it, nevertheless at the 29-day month, Alachas Kama V'kama, when not everybody saw it, and only that two Edim came and we interrogated them, so why do we need to mention that second case in the Mishnah at all? And the reason is, it's still a Chiddush, without the Mishnah telling us, we would have thought, we should consider the interrogation of the Edim is like the beginning of the Din Torah. Umakurdish Makurdish Gigmardin, saying Makurdish Makurdish would then be like giving the verdict, and Velikadshi Velela, and we should be able to do that at night, needed to have the Adjinim Mominus, because we would compare it in that sense, Dinim Mominus. It's not Dinim Mominus done in Bayom Begum Velela. When it comes to Dinim Mominus, as long as we start the Din Torah during the day, we can finish it at night. They can give the verdict at night. So here we would think the same thing. Melech Ra'ul based in the Chol Yisrael, and there's no interrogation taking place, then fine, we can argue that if they didn't have a chance to say Mekudosh, then it's a 30-day month. But when you have Adim came, and we actually interrogated them, and we did all that by day, we just didn't have a chance to finish and say Mekudosh by day, maybe we should be able to say Mekudosh by night. No, that's what the Mishnah is telling us. You still can't. The Gemara Din over here has to be by day as well. So Kamash Malam. So the Gemara says, so Hochanami Makadishin Balela, the same way over here you would think you could be Makadish the month at night. Kamash Malam. So the question is, the Ema Hochanami, new, maybe Takazo, where is the Mishnah getting that you can't be Makadish at night? So, Omar Kura, because the Pasuk says, Ki Choykli Yisraelu, it is a law for Yisrael, Mishpat Leleke Yaakov, a judgment for the God of Yaakov, which is referring to Kiddush HaChodesh. Tosfos refers to, we learned back in the first Masechta, that it refers to Rosh Hashanah, and by extension, then it refers to all the other Rosh Hashanah, that Pasuk. So, Amos have a choik. Now, when do we consider it a choik? Mishpat implies the beginning of the judgment. Choik is when we lay down the verdict. So when is it a choik? The Gmar Din. The Kokori Lerachmana Mishpat. And the Torah is calling it not just choik, but also Mishpat, meaning Ma Mishpat Vayayim, Hachanami Vayayim. So therefore we see, just like the Mishpat, the beginning of the judgment has to be by day, so in this case, the choik also has to be by day. So the verdict, saying the Kurdish, has to take place by day. So that's what we're saying. If they didn't manage to do it before Shkia, then it becomes a Chodesh Mordor. So that's the Chiddush of the two parts of the Mishnah. And the first part was saying that even though everybody saw it, nevertheless, we still have to make it a Chodesh Mordor. And in the second case, even though we interrogated the Eidim by day, nevertheless, we also have to say Mekudesh by day.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how it is. Okay. We said in the Mishnah...
The second thing we could spell it, so we can count,
sorry. Yeah. So we said, Ra'ul based in Yam Deshnaim Ya'udu B'Mehem. We said that if the Beis Din only saw the new moon, then two of the members should stand up and give Eidus in front of them. So the question is, why do we need Eidus at all? V'amai, lo tehe shmiya g'dol l'mer'iyah. Why should their hearing from the Eidim be any greater than they themselves seeing? They themselves saw the moon. That should be enough for them to be Mekadosh the Chodesh based on that. Amar Rav Zeira k'gansher u'u b'layla. So Rav Zeira says, the case is where the Eidim saw it at night. So therefore, so they need to hear something about it the next day. Otherwise, what are they being Mekadosh? So, in other words, to listen to the Eidim can only be by day, like we just said. Even by Dinim Mominus, that's true. So therefore, so they can't be Mekadosh based on, they can't just be Mekadosh based on, we saw it last night, and that's enough for us the next day, because we need to have an Eidus. So in other words, now you would have a case. The Rambam describes a case. Suppose that the Beis Din saw it late in the day on the 29th, shortly before Shkia, then you're right, they don't need Eidim, they can just right away be Mekadosh it right there on the spot. Because then, yeah, Lo Tehe Shmiya G'dol L'mer'iyah, like our Gemara is saying. But most of the time, the moon is usually not visible before Shkia, because the sun drowns it out. It's usually only visible after Shkia, and after Shkia, it's too late already to listen to Eidim, so therefore they need to wait till tomorrow morning. And therefore they need to have two of them actually serve as Eidim.
So
they saw it the night before, right. That's fine. Well, here they don't need to travel, two members of the Beis Din themselves. But yeah. Okay. Then we said, Ra'u Shloisha Vahin Beis Din. We said if three members of the Beis Din saw it, Yam Dushnaim, then two of them stand up as Edim, V'yeshivu Mechavrem Eitel HaYochad, they have two other Dayanim sit there together with the one. So again, the question is, Amai, why do they need to do that? Hochanami, name of Lo'itei Shmiya G'dol L'mer'iyah. You should say the same thing. They themselves saw it. They themselves can be Mekadosh it. So you're going to answer the same thing. We're talking about where they already saw it after Shkia. Well, then, Hainu Hach, then that's exactly the same as the previous case. Why bother mentioning it? And the answer is Sefer Tzirchale. The Chiddush in this part of the Brice and of the Mishnah is the Sefer when it says, De'ena Yochan Neman Aydei Atzvay. When we said that one Dayan is not trustworthy, is not acceptable to do Kiddush HaChodesh by himself. Without the previous case in the Mishnah, we wouldn't have known that. Now, we would have thought, Hoyalutnan, we learn in a Mishnah, or actually Tanya, it's with the Ebraisa, Dine Mominus Vishloisha, Dine Mominus have to be done by a minimum of 3 Dayanim, the Im Hoya Mumchal Rabim Don Afilu Yafid, but if he's a Mumchal Rabim, meaning that he has Smicha Ishmi Pish, and the Rabim have accepted him, then he can judge even as an individual. Okay, it says in Pirkei Avos, shouldn't, Alti Don Yechidi Al Echad, but you're allowed to. So Hocha Nami Nekad Shebi Yechidi, you would think the same over here, one is enough to be Nekadish Lechadish, Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah is telling us not. So again, the question is, the Ema Hochanami, maybe Taka, the same way as by Dine Momenes, a Yochid Mumcha could judge, maybe by Kiddush HaChodesh also, a Yochid Mumcha could decide. That's what we're saying, we have to have three, but how do we know that? By Dine Momenes, you're supposed to have three, but it's fine with a Yochid Mumcha, so why don't we say the same thing with Kiddush HaChodesh? Why are we saying you have to have two other Dayanim sitting there? The reason is, let's consider. There's obviously no greater mumcha l'rabim than Moshe Rabbeinu. And still, Hashem tells him that you have to have Aaron together with you. Hashem tells the both of them, this chodesh is for you, meaning it's up to you to be mekadesh the chodesh. And since that gives us two, Moshe and Aaron, again, you can't have an even numbered based in because then they could be tied. So therefore, that implies that you need a third one.
Who was the third one?
We don't know, but whoever it was, they found somebody to sit on the basin with them.
Couldn't be a Shema anyway.
So that's it. In fact, Tosfos points out, now there's a different opinion in Sanhedrin that says that you always need to have midaraisa, three mumchim, and only the chachamim allow that you can use three hadyotis. Then of course you don't even need a pasuk. Obviously, by Kiddush HaChodesh, there's no habamina even that you could do with less than three. But the bottom line is, you need, so in other words, Kiddush HaChodesh is more, in some ways, it's like dinin mominus. In particular, you don't need, it's not like dinin nefashis, you don't need a base din of 23. A base din of 3 is enough. But it's not like dinin mominus in the sense, number one, the brutus can't be by night, you said the kodesh has to be said by day, and number two, that you always need a base din of 3, as opposed to by dinin mominus, sometimes you can have a base din of 1. So that's it. So that's why. So now we understand the chiddush of each of the cases in the Mishnah. In the first case, everybody saw the moon, and nevertheless, we still have to make it a 30-day month. In the second case, we interrogated the Edim, and you already had Tchilas Din by day, and yet we say the Gemar Din has to also be by day. In the third case, we're saying that if the Beis Din saw it by night, then they need Edus. They can't just be Mekadosh at the next morning without Edus. They need two of them to stand as Edim. And in the fourth case, we're saying the Chiddush is that you always need a Beis Din of 3. Okay. So that's that. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. We'll finish up with Kiddush HaChodesh, and then we're going to start on Dinim of Rosh Hashanah.
Just as Rambam spoke about cases where you actually burn at night, that's maybe the
Korbanos, sometimes you can burn at night, right?
I'll
yeah, but that's something else.
Yeah, no.